I struggled this week preparing this message. Usually I write my message, I try to write it by Wednesday and then do the finishing touches on Friday. But I couldn't, for whatever reason, I was struggling. I couldn't get anything on paper. I don't know if it was the subject matter. I don't know if it was, I really don't know what it was. I can't tell you. But I believe that I was able to push through. And today we're looking at mercy. I believe that I have talked about playing this game before. Y'all remember the game we used to play in, when you're kids? We used to do this all the time, and we called it mercy. And you'd grab each other's hands, and you would try to bend that person's hands back until they cried mercy. And when they cried mercy, you're supposed to let them go. Of course, it's really fun to play with your own kids because you just sit there and they try to, you know, you let them just try to bend, and you're just sitting there just, I'm waiting on you, you know. But the game, I don't know why we played this game. It's kind of just torturous, is it not? Especially if someone grabs your hands and starts twisting, you know, and you're going, mercy, 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 you know, and I'm crying for mercy, and they're not showing me mercy. But, you know, they keep twisting, and it's like, I need mercy here, right? But we used to play that game. We'd play it all the time. We'd be standing in line at school. We'd get in trouble for playing it at school, you know. We'd be after church on Wednesday nights. We'd be playing mercy, you know. Anytime we could, we'd be playing this game, mercy. And once someone cried mercy, the game's over. It's done. It's ended. It's complete. But sometimes they wouldn't let go, and sometimes they would. But today we're looking at the fifth beatitude. And it's, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 7 today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And I don't know about you, but this game that we used to play as children, I can see it in this verse. I can see it in this verse. Because as you'd sit there and you would try so hard to get this person to commit to your will or whatever and to cry out mercy to you, you know, the thing is about even the difference in this is that God never does anything to try to twist your will to get you to cry mercy. Before we ever cried mercy, He extended it to us. But a person that is merciful, or the merciful, they extend mercy to others. Look at what mercy means. Mercy means this: compassion for forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Think about it this way. When you were a kid and you did something wrong, what happened? You got punished, right? I don't know if y'all can believe this or not. I was an honorary kid. There was not a quiet bone in my body. I was very hyperactive, and I got many spankings on the backside. And for a lot of those stupid things that I'd done, and I promise you, it was all deserved. There was not one single time that I got a spanking that I didn't deserve it. But I can also think of one time as I got older, I was driving home. One night, it was late. This was many years ago before I was married. I was actually coming from Fort Smith, going back to Russellville. And it was late at night. It was getting close to midnight. It might have been right at midnight, something like that. And I got to, if you know I-40 between here and Russellville, about the time you get to London, okay, that means I'm really close to being home. And I decided at that moment that I had been good the entire trip. I had stayed the speed limit. I was so, you ever know what I'm talking about? When you're so tired, you're like, I just want to get to bed. Anybody, y'all know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, I just want to get to bed. I'm getting tired. And I was just so tired and I just want to get home. And I just kind of eased up on the accelerator to try to go a little faster. About the time I got up to a pretty decent speed, all of a sudden I see these blue lights behind me. And I'm like, oh, I promise I've been going the speed limit the entire time, you know. Pulls me over. He comes up to my car, does the whole spiel, driver's license, you know, insurance, all that good stuff. It's late at night. I'm tired. I just want to go home. And I start my speech. And you know what I'm doing? I'm begging for mercy. And I think the reason why I was begging for mercy, because I had a ticket that I was, you know, not too long ago. And I was just begging and pleading for mercy. Sir, I know I was speeding. I admit it. I was guilty. I was 100% guilty. I did not deserve. I deserved the ticket, okay? And I pleaded for mercy. Sir, I'm trying to get home. I'm tired. I just want to get home. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm going right up here to Russellville. I'm not very far. I promise you I have been, you know, I'm sure he's heard this spiel, and he's probably thinking to himself, I've heard this over and over again. But I'm begging for mercy. I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for something that I don't deserve. Something that I am completely guilty for, and I am asking, will you please just extend mercy to me this one time? Do I deserve it? Yes, I deserve it, but will you extend mercy to me? And I'll never forget that officer. He said, you need to slow down. Hand me back my driver's license. He walked back to his car, and I proceeded down the road. Needless to say, I stayed at that 65 or whatever it was at the time, speed limit that it was, and continued the rest of the way home and got home safely. But he extended mercy to me, something that I didn't deserve. I didn't deserve mercy. I deserved punishment, didn't I? I deserved because I was guilty. I was going over the speed limit. I was disobeying the law. And I deserved everything that he should have given to me. You know, I was grateful to that officer that day for showing me mercy. And Jesus tells us here in this scripture that blessed, or what does blessed mean? Happy. Happy are the merciful. I need mercy every single day of my life. You know, mercy, it also implies generosity. Did you know that? Think about mercy for a minute. It also implies generosity. Have you given of yourself lately? Do you give of your time? Do you give of your resources? Do you give of your money? Do you give of your talents? You see, when I show mercy, I'm a generous person. That's part of mercy. It's generosity. Generosity and mercy, they're all in the same. Mercy also implies forgiveness. Have you forgiven someone that has done you wrong lately? Have you forgiven your children for something they have done? Have you forgiven your spouse for something they have done? Have you forgiven your boss for something they have said or done to you? Mercy and forgiveness, they go hand in hand. We desire mercy, don't we? We want people to extend mercy to us. We want them to extend that hand of mercy whenever we deserve to be punished, when we deserve to get it all. And so we beg sometimes for mercy. We beg for just that little ounce of forgiveness, for just that little ounce of whatever we are looking for. Even though we are guilty, it's fully deserved. We want mercy. And so we desire mercy, but do we give mercy in return? You know, mercy also implies compassion. Think about it.
Have you served in ministry? Have you served because you wanted to, not just because you felt obligated to? Do you have compassion on the lost? Do you have compassion for those in need? Now, something else you must understand is when you show mercy to someone else, you are not guaranteed mercy from people in return. There's truth to that. I've extended mercy to people before and got nothing for it. I'm sure you have too. I'm sure you have thought, you know, hey, I'll give you, I'll let you have lenience this time, but you know, next time maybe it might be a different story. And then what happens? They don't do anything, do they? Just because we extend mercy does not mean we get it back. And that's hard. That's hard, is it not? It's hard when we are a merciful person or we think we're merciful and we think that we are out of compassion, out of forgiveness, out of love, out of whatever it is, we are extending mercy to this person, but yet they don't show us mercy in return. We tend to want something in return. And if you have ever seen the movie Groundhog Day, anybody ever seen that movie? With Bill Murray, where he lives the same day over and over and over and over again. I forget. I looked it up one time. How many days did he live? It was like thousands of days that he relived over and over again. But there's this scene on there where he keeps coming up and he keeps catching the kid that's falling out of the tree. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember that part? But it seems like every single day he's like, and he sets him down and he says, "I think you would be nice, you know? Here I have. I've saved your life every single day, all these days. And you don't ever extend anything back to me." Mercy is something like that. We extend mercy to someone and they never extend it back. And that's okay. The Beatitude just says, "Blessed are the merciful." Right? It doesn't say nothing about blessed are those that receive mercy. It says, "Blessed are the merciful," meaning those that extend mercy, those are the ones that will be blessed, or those will be the ones that will be happy. And the reason why it doesn't matter if we don't receive mercy back is because of the promise that follows after that. Look at the promise. "Blessed are the merciful," what? "For they will be shown mercy." So it's okay if we don't get mercy back from people here on earth. It's okay if we're not shown mercy back from our people that we walk with, people that we go to work with, people that we go to school with, people that we go to church with, people that we live next to, our neighbors, people that are in our family. It doesn't matter if they don't extend mercy back to us, because as long as we are extending mercy, then the Bible promises us that we will be shown mercy. And here is where that mercy comes from. As believers, our comfort comes, listen to me, in the knowledge that no matter how the world treats us, God will show us mercy both now and when He returns. Amen? That's the promise we have. There is no greater promise than that, to know that no matter what happens on this life, if no one that's among my peers extends mercy to me, my Heavenly Father will someday extend mercy and is continually extending mercy to me here on this earth. We all believe that God is all-powerful, right? I do. God's all-powerful. He's magnificent. He's mighty. And we all believe that God has the power to destroy us if He deemed fit. Right? And someday God's wrath will be poured out on this earth. But right now God demonstrates His mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for Your mercy. Think for a moment. Everything that you have ever done in your lifetime. And some people are like, "Oh my goodness." It's hard to think, isn't it? Think of all the things that you don't deserve mercy for. Think back on your past. Have you done something that God should have punished you for? Instead of punishing you, God did something amazing. He showed you mercy. And how did He show you mercy? Well, He sent His Son Jesus to come and die on a cross, so that you would experience righteousness and have eternal life. That's the greatest That's the greatest form of being shown mercy. Look in Scripture and you can find instances where God did not extend mercy. God doesn't have to give us mercy. Do you hear me? He's God. I love the story of Job. Man, if you're ever feeling down or depressed, just go read the book of Job. And I tell you what, the best part, just skip all the first part. Go to about chapter 42. And there's a part in there where Job has questioned everything that's going on in his life because of these terrible friends that he has. And God says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I'm God. In other words, I brought you into this earth. I can take you out of it. He's God. We don't answer to Him. I mean, He don't answer to us. You understand what I'm saying? He don't have to get our permission before He does something. He don't have to. Yeah, sure, we ask Him for certain things, and we ask God if He would extend us, you hear me? If He would extend mercy to us. But He extends it to us when He sent His Son to die for us. But look at these that He didn't show mercy. The people in Noah's time were wicked people. These people were awful. I mean, they were terrible. Look what God says in Genesis 6. So the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. You hear me? Evil all the time. It was terrible. The Lord, this is what gets me. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. That's tough to take, is it not? He regretted making His own people. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. That sounds to me like God was done. He is fed up. It got so bad that God regretted His creation. And then there was Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham pleads with God, if you could just find one righteous person, would you spare the city? And God makes that promise, but he could not find one righteous person. And then if you have read the story about Korah, and there's 200 people, they rebel against God's chosen person, Moses, and God gets so angry with them that He opens up the earth. He lets them fall into the earth, and then He closes the earth up. Now, I don't know about you, but that's one way to get rid of some folks, right? I mean, can you think of some people that, God, hey, you want to do this miracle again, you know? Do you want to, I could put them all in one spot, Lord. We could just open up the earth, let them all fall in and be done, you know? But God doesn't have to show us mercy. And someday He won't show mercy any longer. Revelation 21:8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. But we can also see the evidence of God showing people mercy as well. You know, I told you about the people during Noah's day. One of the next verse that I didn't read to you, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, says this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In all the wickedness that was happening, in all the wickedness, God looked down and He saw Noah. And He's like, that man, there is one that I can change the world with. And at a time when the world was wicked and everyone deserved punishment, Noah found favor with God. God told Noah, build a big old boat. And when the rains came, God spared Noah and his family. Now, let me ask you this. How many times did David fail God, and when he was at his worst, he cried out to God? In Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What about Paul? Think about Paul for just a moment. He spent a good portion of his adult life persecuting Christians. Whenever Stephen was being stoned to death, Paul was standing there watching, holding the cloaks of the people that were stoning him, just looking on and just admiring what was going on. This is Paul. This is the same guy that wrote most of the New Testament. But it was on a road to Damascus that mercy met Paul, and it changed his life forever.
Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats." Did you hear that? Meanwhile, Saul was still, okay, it was still going on. It was still happening to that day. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He was still trying to kill Christians at this point. He's on a road. He's traveling down the road, and he's still trying to kill Christians. And he goes to the high priest and asks him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, talking about the Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. This is what Paul was doing. He was on this road to Damascus. He was getting ready to persecute more. He was getting ready to take out the Christians. Verse 3 says, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked." Well, that was a dumb question, wasn't it? I mean, big bright light comes and hits me in the face. I think I'm going to know who it is. I mean, he did know. He said, "Lord." And he replied, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And then Jesus says this, "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." And in verse 7, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. He decided to fast. Can I tell you that we serve a merciful God? God's desire is not to crush us. Do you understand me? God's not just standing up here just wanting to you know. I mean, it'd be nice sometimes, wouldn't it? God, can I add some to a squish list, you know? Can we just put some people on that list? That'd be a lot, you know, easier. We just squish them and be done with them. And God knows we're not perfect. He knows that we will make mistakes. Anybody made a mistake lately? Can I raise both hands? He shows his love for us by giving us mercy. I need mercy. And after everything that we have done, God can show us mercy, then surely after what people do to us, we can show mercy to them. Jesus said, "Blessed or happy," however you want to say it, "are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Before we could ever show someone mercy, God showed us mercy. There's an old song I think it was Phillips Craig and Dean that said, "When I could not reach," I think it says, "When I could not see mercy or reach mercy, mercy came running to me." Think about that. Mercy came running to me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't need it. I needed it. I didn't deserve it. For sure. I wanted it. But when I couldn't necessarily see it in my vision, in my sight, mercy was already there. Mercy was already there being extended to me.
So God showed us mercy. We need to practice being merciful. Amen? Jesus gives us a good illustration of mercy found in Matthew 18. And as Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples, Peter asked him a question. Peter said this, "How often am I supposed to forgive my brother that sinned against me? Seven times?" That's, Peter's wanting to put a number on it. He don't know. Yeah, do I extend it seven times? Is that okay? And then Jesus went on to tell him the story of, he said, no, not seven times, but 70 times. And then Jesus went on to tell him the story of the unforgiving servant. The story goes like this. A king wanted to settle his accounts with all his servants. And when he came to this one particular servant that couldn't pay, his debt was 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know about you, I don't know if you know much about that, but let's just put it in our terms. Let's say $10,000. I think it was more than that, but let's just say for our perspective, we can understand this. $10,000, that's a lot, right? I mean, anybody got just $10,000 just laying around that you can just pull out of your pocket and, and give some? No, you can't. Most of us can't. The king said, cast this servant and his wife and kids in jail until he can pay. You see, everybody had to pay back in the day. It wasn't just the one person. It was the entire family. They'd throw them all into jail. This servant, he falls to his knees and begins to cry out for mercy from the king. So he's begging this king, please show me mercy. Please. And the king, what does he do? He forgives the servant's debts. He forgives not just all, just part of it. He forgives all of it. All 10,000 talents. Forgives it all. It's done. Doesn't have to worry about it anymore. This king shown great mercy, right, to this servant. It was something that he didn't deserve at all. He owed the debt, but he didn't deserve mercy, but it was extended to him. And so the king extended mercy. So when the servant left the king, this servant leaves the king, he's like, man, I'm feeling pretty good about myself, I'm doing pretty good. I don't have no debt. I'm debt free. Man, I'm just going to go out. He's walking down the road, and all of a sudden he sees this dude, and he's like, hey, that guy owes me money. And the Bible says that he walks up and he grabs the dude by the throat. I can see him grabbing him by the throat, putting him up against the wall and say, pay me my money. So he tells him, you owe me this money. You're going to pay me my money. And this servant does to him the exact thing that he did to the king. He falls on his knees and he begs for mercy. And it wasn't even near what this guy owed the king. It wasn't even close. Maybe $100. And he's begging him for mercy, saying, please, if you would, just give me a chance. Will you please just give me mercy? And this servant says, no. And he picks him up and he takes him and he throws him into the debtor's prison until he could pay his debt. No mercy was shown. Well, some of the people get word back to the king and they tell him the story, hey, this dude, the guy that you just gave mercy to, he goes and he finds this guy that owes him money and it was a lot less than what he owed you. And he shook him out and he said, you're going to have to pay me. And he wouldn't pay, he couldn't pay him. So he threw him in the debtor's prison. And they tell all this to the king. Well, what do you think the king does? The king gets very angry. And so the king summons the servant to him, and the king tells the servant how wicked he is, and he sends him to the torturers until his debt was paid off. Jesus then tells the disciples that if God has forgiven you, then you should also forgive others. If God has shown you mercy, then you should extend mercy to others. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Can I just tell you this morning, Jesus is giving us a look into mercy. Jesus came to earth to extend mercy to us. He stretched his arms out on a cross to give us mercy. The least that we can do is extend mercy back. Amen.
Blessed are the merciful. We need to show mercy. Amen? For they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I need mercy. Amen? I need mercy every single day. God, I don't deserve it. God, I've done some terrible things in my life. I don't deserve mercy. But you extended mercy to me, and you forgave me for my sins. Can we pray? Lord, I just thank you. Lord, you said, blessed are the merciful. God, I am not responsible for everyone else. I'm responsible for myself. I am not responsible for someone to show me mercy back. I am only responsible for myself showing mercy first and foremost. So God, I pray if there's anybody here today that needs mercy, would you extend your hand, your most merciful hand, and reach down and show them your mercy. Lord, here I am. I stand here as a sinner. In need of mercy. And Lord, if there's anything that's in my heart that's keeping me from you, then Lord God, I pray that you would set me free. God, I pray if there's anybody here that's living in bondage, that's keeping them from serving you with all their heart, set them free. Extend that hand of mercy to them so that they can cry out to you and they can come and they can receive your mercy. Lord, you said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God, I know a day is coming when you will show mercy to those who are righteous. And that's something for all of us to look forward to. But here today, God, if there's anybody here that needs mercy, extend that hand of mercy. Show them love. Show them you care. Show them how much you desire for them. Can I just ask you, with your heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Maybe you're watching at home. And you're saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to save me. I need Jesus to come and show mercy to me. I don't deserve mercy. I've done some awful things in my life. But I'm asking God for mercy. I want you to know that God wants to reach down. He wants to touch your heart. He wants to touch your life. He wants to show you mercy. Can we all pray this prayer together? Say, dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I am away from you. I want to be close to you. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer this morning, I want you to be sure to let someone know. We serve a merciful God. Amen. We serve a God full of grace, and He's full of mercy. And this is just one thing. You know, I don't know why I struggled this week. To say it's been an easy 2 weeks, that would be a lie. It hasn't been an easy 2 weeks, has it? It's been rough. It seems like there's been challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. And, everything was going pretty good up until just the last few weeks. It seems like we have just been hit hard. And I'm sure it's an attack, you know. When things are going good, the enemy's going to attack. And so I believe this week God has shown me mercy. It's been a good week. And, He shows me how much He loves me and how much He cares for me. Amen? And so if you're struggling, if you're going through something this week or whatever, I want you to know He loves you and He extends mercy to you. So I just want to close today with these things. We need some help. Okay? Tonight we need help. I'm not going to be able to be there. I'll be doing youth tonight. Normally I go and help. But if you can help tonight, we need help. Okay? I'm just going to tell you. We need help. I don't know how to say it anymore. We need help. If you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting at home, just enjoying your nice little, that's great, but can you help us tonight? Okay? I got that out of the way. We need help. Be there at 5:30 at Hope Campus to serve and help. We need help. All right. We also need help in other ministry positions. Nursery is a paid position. If you would like to work in the nursery, we do a thorough background check. We pay minimum wage, but you can work in the nursery, make a little extra bucks. It's not a lot. It's, you know, 3 hours, I think, is what Sunday morning is. And so we need help there. All the other ministry positions we have is volunteer. And I would rather you volunteer than be voluntold. So it's up to you. But we need some help. And if you can help in any way, whether it's door greeting, whether it's serving, whether it's, you know, whatever, I don't know. There are some positions that we do have to do a background check for the safety of our kids and our youth. And so we do a thorough background check. And so if you are working with one of those groups, we do have to do a background check for that. But we need help. And so if you don't have a position in the church, I want you to think of a place where you can serve, and I want you to fulfill a position. I think it'd be awesome if 100% of our church was doing 100% of the work. You hear me? You get what I'm saying? I think that would be fantastic. So if there's a place where you can serve, let me know. And tonight we do have youth for grades 6 and up, and we'll start at 6 tonight. Let me also say this. Our ushers will be at the back to receive any tithes and offerings that you have this morning to give. I think last Sunday he told you that we were wanting to up our average giving to $3,000. We had over $3,000 come in last week. We had $3,600 come in last week. Thank you so much. Doesn't stop just for 1 week. We want to average that, and so if you are giving, if you could give, that would be fantastic. We have several ways to give. You can place it in an envelope and drop it in the bag in the back. There's secure box out in the foyer where you can drop yours in there as well. And then we also have an online giving option where you can give online, and that